Well, good morning. Here we are, a bright, sunny day here in the metropolis of Windber. No snow, and we can complain it's too hot. 2 weeks ago, it was snowing, and we had the heat on, and today, God put the heat on, and we're complaining. So, one of those things. The lesson continues in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34. And the title of the message is The Good Shepherd. Now, the introduction goes as such. There are times we wish for a bit of good news. On the days when troubles, trials, temptations, and tests pile up, we long for divine intervention. At our lowest point, we pray for things to turn around. Well, God is faithful to meet us at those low points and give us a message of hope. And that is exactly what he did for Israel in Ezekiel 34. So we find, as we begin the lesson, it's starting to, Ezekiel is still bringing judgment to talking, you know, the people who were taken from Israel to Babylon were convinced it wasn't their fault. You know, it's not my fault we're here. It's our forefathers, it's our fathers and grandfathers and all them. They're the ones who were sinning and that's why we were taken into, brought to Babylon and conquered. And so it's not our fault, and God is unfair. And those are the things we spoke of last week and the week before. But from chapter 33 on, the prophet repeatedly rebukes Israel for idolatry, up to chapter 33, that he rebukes the Israelites for their idolatry, their wickedness, and unfaithfulness to God. Well, we find in this section that God is angry with Israel, and that God is ready to punish Israel severely. So God threatens to fulfill, God's threats are fulfilled when the Babylonians destroy Jerusalem. And we know that if you're looking at the history, we know that Nebuchadnezzar conquered Jerusalem, took the captives, and put in his own king that was supposed to, you know, a Jewish leader who was a king, and I don't have his name in front of me. But anyhow, he was to rule Jerusalem, and he was to be answer to Nebuchadnezzar. Well, somewhere along the line, he and his advisors say, you don't need to listen to Nebuchadnezzar. God is with us. We got the temple here. We can do as we please. Don't pay tribute, and we're just going to break away from the Babylonians. Well, that didn't set well. So Babylonians come back, they put the siege around Jerusalem, and Jerusalem just, you know, they have to surrender because they have no food. You know, it's their one reference is that even had cannibalism. And so they surrender, while the king then is killed and his family, and they destroy the temple, they destroy the whole place. So it's like they were looking at the temple as their... They looked at the temple as a good luck charm, basically, that God had given them the dimensions of the temple. God had given them the Ten Commandments. God had blessed Israel, but what happened is they forgot the part where they were supposed to remain faithful to God and stay away from all the idols and worshiping idols of the other nations and of even the Egyptian gods and things. So they forgot about, they were doing all these wrong things. Jeremiah, the prophet's there telling them, you've got to stop this, you can't do this, God is going to bring judgment. And one of the things in Jeremiah, one of the translations has it that the people say, well, we'll just kind of wait and see what happens. So they went into Babylon. So whenever the temple then, when Jerusalem was, the walls were torn down and the temple was destroyed, and, you know, I mean, they just totally ransacked the city, leveled the city. And so when word came back that Jerusalem had surrendered and the city was destroyed, the people in Babylon just were, like, devastated that their good luck charm, God was supposed to protect their temple, and they somehow, it didn't happen. So... The land of Israel was desolated, and the remaining people are led away captives and brought to they are relocated to Babylon. So this destruction of the temple is the lowest point for the Jewish people. The Jewish nation, those who were in captivity. And they had lost their land, their temple, and their way of life. They had lost their liberty. They had hit bottom. So we find that Ezekiel then had predicted that Jerusalem would fall, and now he predicts that there will be a resurrection. Now, it's important as we look at this, we see how God is saying one thing, you know, about the destruction, and you know, when the people finally hit bottom, you know, that's the hard place for those who are running away from God or staying away from God or whatever they're doing away from God. It's hard for us to look at them, and when they hit bottom, there's nowhere to go but up, and they have to turn, you know, they need to turn to the Lord. Well, this is where our lesson today talks about that switch and talks about how that Ezekiel prophesied the destruction, but then when they're at their bottom, he's now talking to them about restoration. So there are six new components of the restored Israel, and we're only going to look at two of them. The one is that there is a new shepherd, and there is going to be a new covenant. Then we have, goes on, he says there will be a new land, chapter 36, a new nation, chapter 37, a new king, chapter 37, a new temple, chapter 40, and we find that in today's lesson we are just going to look at the first two, which is the new shepherd and the new covenant. So as we look at Ezekiel 34, we find this is where the wicked shepherds, okay? God is, you know, whenever we think of Jesus, he is the good shepherd, he watches over his flock, you know, and here we have God bringing a pronouncement of judgment upon the leaders of Israel. Verse chapter 2 of Ezekiel 34. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased ye have not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. So he's basically looking here at the shepherds, the leaders of Israel, and how that they had failed their people, how that they had failed the nation. So Ezekiel now is preaching this transitional message that of restoration. So if you're going to restore something, you have to look at, well, what put it in place to be destroyed? What set up the what set the course for the destruction? Well, the first people that he is bringing the accusations against are the leaders, the ones who are considered the shepherds. Now, the word shepherd is a metaphor for leadership, and it's a common ancient world that they would look at these people as the shepherds who were guiding the flock of Israel. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I shall not lack any good thing. So we find that the leaders of Israel had, you know, if God is out of the picture, the Lord isn't the shepherd. He isn't leading them, but he's still under a covenant. He still holds himself, God holds himself accountable to the covenant that he has established with Abraham. And so what he's now putting the accusations or bringing before the shepherds, the wicked shepherds, he's bringing before them their sin. So a reference to God's people as his sheep. We found that over and over again through the scriptures, that we are the sheep of his pasture. You know, God looks at us, you know, we are like, all ye like sheep have gone astray, you know, turned everyone to his wicked way. So the sheep are always a metaphor for individuals and for the nation of Israel and for individuals. So a reference to God's people as his sheep is found in Numbers 27, where Joshua is appointed as Israel's leader. The congregation of the Lord, be not as sheep which have no shepherd. So over and over again, we have this identity going on, that the one who, the nation of Israel, is the sheep, the leader of Israel is the shepherd. So the word of the Lord comes to Ezekiel, and the Lord pronounces woe unto the shepherds of Israel. The shepherds of Israel have been selfish. They have, instead of feeding the flock, the shepherds have been feeding themselves. They have taken advantage of their position to eat the sheep and make clothing from the wool. In essence, the shepherds have not fulfilled their leadership responsibility toward God. In ancient world, the shepherds were not owners of the sheep, but they were caretakers. So we find that even in ourselves, we are caretakers of this body, of our life, of that which we do, because the Lord owns this place. We've given our life to Christ, and he is our shepherd, and he wants us as his sheep to follow him. You know, he doesn't consume us. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't destroy his sheep. He's always guarding his sheep. So Israel then was God's flock, but the shepherds acted as if they owned the flock. So when the people of Israel, when the leadership was in place, they considered themselves the owners of all of these people. And the idea was, you are not the owners of these people, these sheep. God is the owner of the sheep. You are the shepherd, and you are to take care of the sheep that God has placed in your position. So, superseding God's authority, they shepherded the sheep and slaughtered the finest of them for their own pleasure. So they took advantage of people. They took advantage of the ones that they could. In some instances, they would sell their fellow Israelites as slaves. You know, they were in the marketplace to make money, and they were making money from their people. So the highest responsibility of a shepherd is what? To care for his sheep, protect them from danger, prevent them from harming one another. I read that part and I thought, okay, well, how are the sheep going to harm one another? Well, and the illustration is the rams, you know, you ever see those bighorn sheep collide with one another? And, you know, we had sheep when I was a kid, and the ram, you just stayed away from him because he would just run you over. And so I put a bushel basket over his head, and I ran. But I wasn't fast enough. He caught up to me. I never put a bushel basket over his head again. So, to protect the sheep, they had to, you know, keep the rams in line, the bullies. And it goes on to talk about how that let's talk about the leaders have six areas that they neglected. They have not fed the sheep. They have not strengthened the diseased. Didn't take care of those that were sick. They have not healed the sick. They have not bandaged the wounded. They have not retrieved the sheep that have been driven away by the predators. They have not searched for the sheep who have wandered away and become lost. So Ezekiel is talking about how that the shepherds have neglected their duty in taking care of the sheep, and they have ruled their sheep with force and cruelty. So it'd be like we have today the animal, they go around, they find these farms or whatever, where these people, you know, have their dogs tied up and don't feed them, or, you know, animals in pens. And they don't feed them, and they're just starvation and things like that. Well, this is where the shepherds here are just leading with cruelty. The prophet Isaiah even spoke to this. He says he called them greedy dogs, which can never have enough, And they are shepherds. They are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his gain. So Isaiah wrote about these leaders. And it's not ironic, but it's how that Ezekiel will be killed by one of these leaders, these shepherds. But that's much later. So the wicked shepherd is removed. This is Ezekiel 34, beginning at verse 7. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. So Ezekiel's using the analogy of the shepherd and the sheep, and he is, again, looking at the leadership of Israel, how that they didn't care for the people. They had an agenda for themselves, and their agenda took care of themselves, and they fed off of the weakness of the people. They were able to do things legitimately to make themselves look good and feel good and be and gain wealth, but they did it at the expense of the people. In light of the shepherd's selfish behavior, God pronounces judgment on them. The refusal to protect the sheep means God has both the right and the obligation to remove them from service. So, you know, the Lord setteth up one and taketh down another, Scripture says. So the people in leadership who did not take care of the people made themselves wealthy at the expense of the people. They had denied and refused their obligation for leadership in the they've not kept their side of the bargain. God placed them in leadership, and they have not kept their side of the bargain to be good leaders, and they have just destroyed the morale and the people, the sheep under their control. So God then has an obligation to remove them. Therefore, the Lord calls to them and demands that they hear his word. Verse 7. So these people that have been condemned, now God says to them, I want you to hear my word, and this is what's going to happen. This is the verse 8. The beginning of this passage must not be overlooked. The phrase, as I live, is an oath formula, which means God is swearing an oath. So, as I live, saith the Lord God. So God is saying, by myself, the oath that he has taken. I swear this by myself, because there's none greater than me. So God is saying that about, you know, this is why he's going to keep the oath. The oath formula raises the level of intensity and makes the listener more aware of God's passion, his opposition to the shepherds and their reprehensible conduct. So God is saying through the prophet Ezekiel, you guys are in trouble because you didn't do the right thing. So the result of their negligent leadership, God's sheep had been scattered. They had become prey for wild animals because, you know, they're scattered. They're you know, they're always looking, you know, if you watch any of those nature things, that the predatory animals are always looking for the animal that's off by itself or weak or somehow has wandered away. They're easy prey. Well, this is, he's just using the same illustration. Jeremiah says, my people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray. Ezekiel says that the shepherds did not search for my flock, but rather the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. So this was a common, I don't want to say common, but this was a very ordinary, common thing that the people were doing. And they had done it for so long, they just felt it was their right to do it. So God concludes his message to the shepherds with a blunt statement. Behold, I am against the shepherds, verse 10. God's rejection of the leaders will result in their removal from office and their handling over the sheep to God's care. So God says, you've done a poor job. You haven't even done a poor job. You've done a terrible job at being a shepherd. I'm taking over for my sheep. And then Jeremiah wrote, weep and wail, you shepherds. Roll in the dust, you leaders of the flock, for your time to be slaughtered has come. You will fall like the best of the rams. So, you guys got a problem. So the leadership has created a lot of problems. And then, of course, we move to verse 17 of chapter 34. And this is the wicked sheep. You mean there's trouble in a church? You mean there's people and go to church and they have problems? Well, there are some bad sheep in the flock. As for you, O my flock, Ezekiel 34:17. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle. The commentary says that it shouldn't be translated cattle and cattle. It should be sheep and sheep. So I'll just tell you what the commentator says. And so I judge between sheep and sheep, between the rams and the goats. Seemeth it as small thing unto you who have eaten up the good pasture, but ye must tread down. You must tread down with your feet the residue of your pasture, and to have drunk of the deep waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet. And as for my flock, they eat that which you have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which you have fouled with your feet. Now, basically what he's saying here is that the sheep that are considered themselves the better ones, you know, they align themselves in a better position than the ordinary sheep. So they align themselves in this position of being better. So he's telling them, you go and eat the good pasture, but while you're there, you trample it all down. And so when the other sheep come to eat, they have to eat what you've pushed down into the ground. Then he says, well, then you've gone into the place where they drink, where you drink, and the waters are cool and running through. After you've drunk the water, you stomp around in there and make it all muddy for the rest of the sheep to show up. So he's, you fouled it up. And they had to drink that which was stirred up. And so the sheep, he's telling them, you've kind of lost your way. Then the wicked sheep face the judgment, those who have done this. Verse 20. Thus saith the Lord God to them, you know, to those sheep who have been tramping down the good grass because the other ones are coming, stirring up the water after they've had their own drink and making the others drink muddy water. Therefore saith the Lord God unto them, behold, I will judge between the fat cattle, the fat sheep, and between the lean sheep. Pardon? Scrawny, yes. Yeah, we got scrawny sheep here. Because ye have thrust with side and with shoulder. What's that say for that verse? Verse 21. Yeah. because you have thrust with side and with shoulder. You have pushed everybody else aside. You are fat and big. I don't want to talk too much about that. Fat and big, and you push people around. I won't go any further. So, fortunately, all those have left. No. Yeah. I remember the one guy, he wanted to tell me what to do. And he's standing there poking me in the chest and telling me all this stuff about what he needs to do, what I need to do. And I said, stop poking me in the chest. You don't need to do that. And I had it happen with this guy in hospice. He was the leader of a church, a denomination, and he was there, and he had to get one more convert, you know, and which was me. I was there trying to help him, and he's there poking me in the chest and telling me how bad my doctrines are and how bad, you know, it's like, do you have a need? You know, was he just like taken back? What do you mean? I says, I know what you believe. You don't have to poke me in the chest, and you don't have to yell at me. I'm sitting right here. And so then he calmed down, and, you know, it was like he had this fervent thing he had to do before he died, you know. And he died. But, you know, just had to, you know, drive home the what they believed and what, you know, how wrong everybody else was and how right they were. And, you know, so. Say, so he's in heaven now and he knows I was right. He believed in salvation. And after that, we just split completely. All right, so what happened? Verse 18 and 19, the Lord points out two particular selfish behaviors. First, the strong sheep were eating up the best pastures. If that weren't bad enough, they trampled the rest under feet. And second, the strong sheep would push their way to the front so they could drink the clear streams of the water, and then they would trample it up so that the ones coming had to drink the muddy water. Verse 20. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God to them, behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat cattle, that's where we were at, the fat sheep and the lean sheep, the scrawny sheep, because ye have thrust with your side, there have been big bullies and pushed themselves aside, and pushed with all the diseases with your horns, till ye have scattered them abroad. Therefore, I will save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. So he's saying that the fat sheep, the selfish sheep, represent the more affluent and influential members of the Jewish society, the upper class. And it was wrong for them to be an upper class, but it was wrong for them to be oppressive and see themselves as better than those who were less. So it was like the people who were, they could buy and sell them as they thought necessary because they were wealthy and they could do what they wanted. So the strong sheep then have pushed and shoved the weaker ones, abusing them for selfish gain. In God's kingdom, the strong have the responsibility for caring for the weak, not abusing the weak. So they're always the strong, but the strong are in a position to care for, not abuse and rule over. We should do well to remember the words of Jesus. It is impossible. It is impossible but that offenses should come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than he should offend one of these little ones. So the understanding is, Jesus is saying that if you are a bully and you have hurt and pushed his sheep, you're going to be accountable for it. So the result of God's restorative work is, first, Israel would no longer be a prey. So he's going to talk about Israel being restored. So You get rid of the, you bring the people, you take them out of office, God removes them from office, or they change their hearts. And the sheep themselves, he will remove them from their influence or take them out of the flock. So here we find that God is saying that he's going to remove the sheep from being prey, and instead they will live in security and be safe from the enemy, and they will live in peace among themselves because God will judge between the sheep. You cannot judge people by the way they look or by what they wear or their position. God will be the judge between sheep and sheep. So that's what he puts in, putting into play now that the shepherds have been brought in line and the bullies of in the sheepfold have been brought in line. So now this is what he's doing. Then the good shepherd, Ezekiel 34:11. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. So God is the one who knows what's going on with the sheep. He knows, the attitude of the heart, the secret thoughts. He knows all of that. So God will be the one who searches his sheep. And as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so I will seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them out of all places where they have scattered in the cloud and the dark day. So we find where for Israel, God has brought them back as a nation. He's brought them back. They've been scattered throughout the nations, but he's brought them back to be a nation. And he's saying that he's the one who's going to take care of this. He's going to be the good shepherd who watches over the flock of Israel. Verse 15, I will feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down. 23rd Psalm, they will lie down in green pastures. I will feed them. I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away. I will bind up that which was broken. I will strengthen that which was sick. I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. So God is declaring what he is doing to restore. So the things that brought about the destruction of Israel and them going into captivity with their leadership that wouldn't be leaders, their shepherds who wouldn't be shepherded under God, the prophet Ezekiel is now telling them, God is going to take over. God is going to take over, and we've been scattered, taken out of Israel, out of Palestine area, and we've been brought to Babylon. 70 years pass, and what happens? Most of the people don't want to go back home. They've made a good life for themselves where they're at. And when it's time that they can go back to Jerusalem, many of them don't want to go. But God is saying, as a good shepherd, he is going to bring them back. He will search them out. He will bring them out. He will gather them and bring them to their own land. Israel's return from the exile is presented in a miraculous act of God. The people will not escape captivity and return to Israel by their own will and power. God himself gathers them, leads them out, and brings them back. And this is as the Babylonian concept was, take people out of their own homelands and bring them to Babylon and relocate them to assimilate them into the Babylonian ways. The Medes and the Persians, their idea was go back home. So when he's telling them that you're going to go back home, you're not going to have to escape the captivity of Babylon to go back to Jerusalem. You are going to go back by your own will and your own power, because the door will be open and you can return. As Israel's shepherd, the Lord will feed them in a good pasture and cause them to rest in a good fold. The Lord himself will take the responsibility for feeding the sheep and giving them rest. He promises to seek the lost, bandage the wounded, heal the sick, and no longer will the fat and the strong abuse the weak. And then verse 23. And I will set one shepherd, this is God, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. Now, he's not saying that David is going to be resurrected from the dead and be the leader of Israel, one like David, or we know that from Christ, that he comes from the line of David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them, I, the Lord, have spoken it. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord, their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God, and they, and ye, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. So God is telling the nation through Ezekiel that he is their God, he is their people, that we are the sheep of his pasture. And we find that that type of analogy is there for us, that we are the sheep of God's pasture, that he will watch over us, he will bandage us, he will, you know, we wander off, he will seek after us to bring us back. And you know, God wants to do all of these things in our lives. The most valuable aspect of the new covenant is the promise that God will reclaim the people as his own. He will restore his relationship with them. Thus shall they know that I am the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people. That's verse 30. Because of this spiritual aspect of the covenant of peace, many scholars believe that this is the same covenant that Jeremiah writes of when he speaks of the new covenant. So Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and other Old Testament prophets point to the full restoration of God's kingdom in the new covenant, which is realized through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Subsequently, Jesus taught us to pray for the coming of this kingdom. So that's Ezekiel 34. Next week we do Ezekiel 43, so God's healing presence. But the book of Ezekiel, it's one that I've never really, like I said, I've never really paid much attention to. And June 5th is Pentecost, so we'll be in summer before you know it. Well, maybe it is summer. So, any thoughts on Ezekiel, this one aspect here that we went through? Yeah. The statement was that a lot of the same things was going on when Jesus came. You know, whenever his ministry was going on, the shepherds, Pharisees, Sadducees, the priesthood, you know, it was all basically corrupt. Not all, but there was a lot of corruption going on, and it led to the destruction. Jesus came to set people free from its destruction. Father, we are grateful that you give to us so many blessings, especially the blessing of your word. We ask that you be with us now, and may the word be applied to our own hearts and lives, that you bless and guide us, and that we know, Lord, that the evil, wicked shepherds will be removed, and you, O God, will restore peace and take care of your sheep. We know this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.